This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Last night they came through and they took their picks. Now, what they did with those picks, that's what has been the subject of everyone's conversation today, and a guy I trust and a guy that I want to hear from, especially because he evaluated all the NFL teams this morning on Cleveland.com and in the Plain Dealer. He is Chris Fedor of 92.3 The Fan, and also of Cleveland.com and The Plain Dealer. And all guests appear on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Hey, Chris, how are you?
What's going on, guys?
What's going on with you? You know, I was interested to look through your story this morning to see how you graded the Browns. Because sometimes, I mean, you're a tough guy.
Fedor, he's not tough.
You're a tough guy, and you say it the way it is as far as you are concerned, and you stand by it. Tell everyone what you graded the Browns.
So it's so funny that you bring this up because, first of all, I did it late last night. I think it was around 3 in the morning when I got done, maybe 4 in the morning. And the first comment that I noticed on Twitter when I finally woke up, it was, wow, what homerism with you with the grade that you gave the Browns. And I'm like, wait a minute, of all the things that I've been called in my life, and there are lots of them, I don't think I've ever been called a homer when it comes to anything Browns, Cavs, or Indians related. So I got the homer designation today because I gave the Browns a good grade. I gave them an A-. I thought they did really well. I thought they got the best quarterback in the draft, and they got a cornerback that they desperately needed.
So I read your story this morning, and I suddenly felt better because I figured if anyone was going to trash it for being bad, it would be you. And you didn't, and you said A-, and I was like, okay, I'm going to maybe relook at the way I'm looking at this thing. Because last night I was like, I know everyone's going to be mad about these picks. I personally am not mad, but I wanted a reason to feel better, and thank you on this Therapy Friday for giving me the inspiration to feel better about last night.
I'm glad I could help. And I think it's worth mentioning that I got to go to the very beginning of this whole thing because – how you felt about a guy going into the draft is probably going to determine how you feel about the draft haul, right? So, I mean, I gave the Buffalo Bills a D- because I think Josh Allen had no business being in the conversation as one of the top quarterbacks in this year's class. And Buffalo decided last year that they didn't want Deshaun Watson, they didn't want Pat Mahomes, they traded out of that spot, then they traded back up for probably the fifth best quarterback in this year's class, in my opinion. A guy whose wild inaccuracy leads me to believe that he's going to have some huge, huge growing pains if he even makes it to be a successful NFL starter. So it's all predicated on how you felt going in. And I felt for months that Baker Mayfield was the best quarterback in this year's class. So because of that, I'm more okay, I would think, with the Baker selection at number one than a lot of other people are. So that's where I'm approaching this from. And when it comes to Denzel Ward, like I even put it in my story, I wanted Bradley Chubb. I made that known. I was on the record saying that. I think he would have more value to the Browns than Denzel Ward. I think Bradley Chubb's going to be a better player at his position, a more impactful player at his position than Denzel Ward is going to be at his. But the NFL game is quarterbacks, dudes that can protect the quarterbacks, dudes that can get after the quarterbacks, and dudes that can bat down passes from the quarterbacks. And Denzel Ward was a top 10 player at a premier position and a position where the Browns don't have somebody who can shadow Antonio Brown or shadow A.J. Green. So even though I thought Bradley Chubb should have been the pick at 4, getting somebody at a premier position that was also a top 10 player, to me, it was easier to justify that than maybe if they would have gone Saquon Barkley or somebody else in that spot.
Chris, I agree with you on Ward and Chubb, and I also agree. I think Ward's going to end up being a really good pro, and my hope is Baker Mayfield is as well. So you make these picks, maybe a little unconventional. Here you sit with the number one pick today with a lot of guys out there. If you didn't get Chubb, you want Harold Landry. Do you want the running back at 33 or 35, or do you think an offensive tackle is more important? Which way are you going at 33 and 35?
I actually think I think I'd be fine with Darius Geis. I'd be fine with Nick Chubb. I'd be fine with offensive tackle Connor Williams. I'd be fine with Harold Landry. I could understand the Browns not going running back at the top of the second round because that's probably the deepest position in this year's class. And there's a chance that at pick number 64, the last pick of the second round, guys, that they could get somebody that's comparable to Darius Geis or comparable to Chubb. Rice Freeman from Oregon is a guy that I've had my eye on for a while. So I think it's all about how much do you value the position that you're drafting in, and how much do you think the guy that you could get at 64 is going to be comparable to the guy that you could get at 33, 35. And to me personally, I think offensive tackle is more thin, and I also think that pass rusher is more thin. So if it's me making those picks, I would go offensive tackle, pass rusher, and take a running back with the last pick of the second round. And if that happens to be Royce Freeman from Oregon, I'm fine with that. Maybe Chubb slides all the way down for a variety of reasons. I'd be fine with that too. But I don't think, based on what's on the board now, I don't think they have to go running back with one of those first two picks, even though I love Darius Geis.
I agree with you on that.
All right, just backtracking a little bit here with the quarterback situation. You take a guy who's 6'1", and you know we've talked about Hugh Jackson, and Jeff said a couple times here, look at the guys they're bringing in for a head coach like Hugh Jackson, who said, I like guys over 6'2". What does this mean is going on when the coach likes certain kind of players and they're drafting other kinds of players?
It means that I don't think he was as involved in the quarterback process as maybe he has been in the past. I think the front office was looking at it saying, who's going to bring the most value to our organization for the next 5 to 10 years, not who's going to fit best with what the quarterback envisions, or what the head coach envisions his quarterback to be, and how that quarterback fits the vision of the head coach and the offense that he wants to run. And I think that's the way that you have to do it. I mean, Hugh Jackson's job, it's not necessarily to go out and evaluate and identify talent and have a huge say in who the quarterback is going to be or who the players for his roster are going to be. It's about taking those guys and trying to find a way to maximize their ability and adapt to what it is they do best. So maybe Baker Mayfield is not the ideal quarterback for Hugh Jackson. Too bad. It's his job to get the most out of that particular player. That's what a coach is for. And I think over the last 2 years, Hugh Jackson has had far too much say. And I recognize why. You know, he was considered an offensive mind. Somehow, some way, he got the quote-unquote quarterback whisperer designation. So Sashi Brown was somebody who decided to lean on that offensive mind and that quarterback guy in terms of picking quarterbacks. But that blew up in the Browns' face, and that led them to Robert Griffin III and passing on Carson Wentz and not taking Deshaun Watson and all the different things that happened at quarterback had Hugh Jackson's fingerprints all over it. And it just was never his job. And I think there was a recognition this year by the front office that they're the guys that are paid to find the talent, and it's Hugh Jackson's job to coach them up. And if he can't coach up Baker Mayfield, a guy that this front office, this regime believes in, then maybe this front office will find somebody who can coach him up.
Chris Fedor joining us. Chris, let's change to the other sport that's going hot right now. Cavaliers can clinch the series with Indiana tonight. They're in Indiana. That's not an easy situation. However, the Cavaliers won there in game 4. They've won 3 of the last 4 games and 2 straight in this series. They have momentum. Do they have a win tonight?
So I think if anybody's trying to predict what Cavs team is going to show up on a night-to-night basis, I mean, good luck, really. This team is so schizophrenic. It is so difficult to know which guy is going to step up beyond LeBron James. And I think the things that we felt going into this series with the Cavs and all of the questions that they had to answer throughout the course of this playoff run, I think you're seeing that unfold. And I think it's hard for Ty Lue to understand what he's going to get from his team. And I think it's hard for LeBron James to know what he's going to get from his teammates. So I said after they won game five, obviously they were in the driver's seat. But I also said that I could see a situation where they go to Indiana and the Pacers find a way to make a charge in the second half or put together a 48-minute game and the Pacers win. At the same time, Jose Calderon said it after game five, the Cavs themselves haven't played their 48-minute game. And if the Cavs play their 48-minute game, I think we have seen through five games that it's probably going to be better than the Pacers. So I have absolutely no idea what to expect tonight. I don't think the Cavs know exactly what to expect. This series has been extremely difficult to call. But the Cavs, if they have to, they have one more game at home on their side, and they've got LeBron James, and supernova LeBron has proven to be too much for the Pacers in two games already. And if he delivers a third game like that, then it's probably curtains and the Cavs go on to the Eastern Conference semifinals. But it seems like it really has to be LeBron playing at that level, that different kind of level that we're not used to this early in the playoffs, just for the Cavs to survive, and that's probably not a great sign moving forward.
Chris, of course, we're always listening for you on 92.3 The Fan. We read your stuff at theplaindealerincleveland.com. And make sure you go and read today's grading of all the teams. I know you wrote it at 3 o'clock in the morning, but I thought it was pretty good. So thanks, Chris.
Thank you, Andy. I was looking for pretty good, so I feel like I succeeded.
I thought it was excellent. Does that make you feel better?
Well, I'm just glad that I could make you feel better.
That's all that matters.
That's not usually what I can do to people.
Chris, your story was even better than the Browns' first-round pick.
There you go. Does that make you feel better? Excellent.
Man. Wait a minute, Jeff. You're down on the first-round pick?
No, you gave them an A-, and I said your work was even better.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
He was talking about you. Goodbye, Chris.
See you guys.
Later.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.